There were a bunch of taboo words growing up in our family. Fuck.
Naughty words.
Naughty.
More than taboo, I would say.
Is naughty worse than taboo?
I think so.
Isn't taboo like adult naughty? Naughty's such a cutesy way of saying taboo, right?
I think taboo is cutesy.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Taboo sounds cuter. But you, naughty is like naughty.
Oh, you see, you associate naughty with like sexual.
Maybe, maybe, maybe. Uh-oh. Well, should we start this again?
Nope.
Okay. Well, speaking of things we shouldn't say to people publicly, the number one was using the name Jesus Christ as an expression of frustration, as anything other than just saying the name of the person, Jesus Christ.
It is one of the Ten Commandments, and we grew up very right. Catholic, and one of the commandments was, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain.
So in vain would be like, just not with respect.
Exactly. Like, but if you stub your toe and you said, ah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, Mom, see now if you're listening.
Were you triggered?
Yes. I say it a lot. You know why I say it a lot as an expression? A, because it was probably taboo, but really because it was said, Michael J. Fox said it, I'm blaming him. But in Back to the Future, there's a great moment when he tries to pick up Doc, goes back in time, comes back from the future in the DeLorean, and the driver's license plate. Oh boy, I gotta eat. The license plate is like scalding hot, and he goes to pick it up, and he goes, "Ah, Jesus Christ, Doc, you incinerated Einstein."
Point is, Mom, if you're listening, just know that we're gonna be saying the name Jesus Christ,
but not as an
more than a few times in this episode, just so. Let that be a warning.
Okay, good. That was a nice warning. It wasn't really a story, but it was a warning.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
You're listening to Life is Short. I am your Jesus Christ-fearing host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
You don't fear Jesus Christ.
Well, I kind of. I mean,
he's such a benevolent.
I don't. But if that is all true, and I you're not supposed. It's a sin to take the Lord's name in vain, to say His name in vain.
But that's,
I'm really fucked.
No, you're not, because Jesus Christ, if what they say about Him was true, He was more than anything a forgiving person.
I know.
So He wouldn't hold that against.
That's
you.
A hard thing to reconcile.
That was always this strange. It felt like a paradox or something about the Ten Commandments is that
right. There
are all these rules that you're supposed to abide by, like the most important rules, and the guy in charge
is like this isn't into rules.
Completely forgiving.
I know.
I never
well, you know the way
totally
that,
made sense.
You know the way Mom and Pop would explain it probably, and I don't want to speak for them, but it would be, well, the Ten Commandments are Old Testament. And like once the New Testament comes around, they kind of like amend all the lessons you're supposed to learn in the Old Testament. They use the lessons and they become allegories. And Jesus is like, oh, you don't have to do. I mean, mm-hmm. like as an example, he hung out with, women of the evening.
Of the cloth. Not of the cloth. No. That's the opposite.
The opposite of the.
Women of the night.
Of the rubber. Women of the rubber. Women of the night. Yeah.
Yeah,
prostitutes.
He did.
You can say prostitute.
I think so.
So you know, that should be respectable.
It's the oldest profession.
I know. Anyway.
Well, the reason
I don't want to shame sex workers.
The reason we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ is not because we're potty mouths, not because we're going to say it in a naughty way.
No.
It's because we're going to be talking about the musical Jesus Christ Superstar.
I think it might be my favorite.
Really?
I think it might. The music it's hard to beat that music.
It's definitely in my top 5.
Dear Evan Hansen, is that in it?
Oh.
Maybe, hopefully, future guest.
Ben Platt. That's up there for me. I like that a lot. But see, it's still relatively new to me, whereas Jesus Christ Superstar I've loved for a long time.
And I remember when they did it, so we're going to be talking to one of the stars of the latest incarnation of Jesus Christ Superstar, the one that they did on, I think it was NBC.
Yeah, The Live.
The Live.
With John Legend and our guest today.
Yes, our guest is the, our very special guest, is the incredibly talented Christian and I are, we're holding back because we're big fans and we don't want to overdo it. I may have overdone it in the interview. I'm just going to say that. That's a disclaimer.
Well, I can't wait.
If you don't like gushing, our guest today is Sarah Bareilles. Sarah is an incredible singer and actress. Come to find out, she was, as we've been mentioning, she was in Jesus Christ Superstar. She played Mary. And if you haven't seen it, you really should. It's one of the best things I've seen on TV.
Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, but who'd I say?
Mary.
Oh, Magdalene. Yeah. Not Mary.
Not the mother of Jesus.
No. Not that she couldn't have played that. I'm sure she could have.
She could play anything.
Yeah. But and she was also in Waitress, the musical, which she co-wrote.
She wrote the music for.
And she's a great singer all around. She's known for hit songs like Love Song and Gravity. And
she is now at a show on the Peacock channel, which is, I think, a new channel, right?
Not nude.
Did it sound like nude?
Nude, it did. A new always sounds like nude to me.
Yeah. NEW channel.
I gotta get my head out of the potty.
And that's so taboo of you.
I know. I'm just a little naughty guy.
It's called Girls Five Eva.
Mm-hmm. It's funny
title. Executive produced by Tina Fey, and it's a very funny show.
Very funny. Oh, and as a quick funny disclaimer to this interview, Sarah was kind, and also an example of how kind and generous she was with her time. We actually did this interview in three different parts. The first being when I was in North Carolina at the studio, did not work. I mean, there's no Wi-Fi, and it was that fail, number one.
Classic North Carolina.
Classic, and that doesn't hold true for the whole state. But in this one particular studio in Wilmington, it did not work. So then we tried again. She was kind enough to come back on. We did it here at our studio in our house where we are now. Our Wi-Fi went out. Did not work. Fail number two.
Did you start to feel like...
Oh, man.
The universe didn't want you to talk to Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, that something was conspiring against us talking. And that, like, you know, I don't know what the lesson would have been. Like, just enjoy her music, and I don't know what it would have been. But
happy ending.
We did it.
You worked on the third time.
Yeah, and she would, again, I mean, so you might hear, you'll hear it.
It'll make sense.
It'll make sense. But, like, you'll also maybe hear, hopefully not too much in my voice, how bad I felt. Because it was, yeah, and... So again, if she's listening, Sarah, thank you once again for your generosity of your time. Three different times. So here it is, all stitched together by the genius Mish for your listening pleasure. Here is the angel, the generous angel, Sarah Bareilles.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do-do-do-do-shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Yes. Oh, finally.
Hi.
Hi. I was just thinking it might be funny, and I'm glad I didn't commit to it, to pretend to be annoyed at you for being like 10 seconds late after what I put you through.
Wait, I need to know, where were you? Because in my mind, I'm like,
so,
you were in a tiny, you were like in an on an island somewhere. And this,
oh, yeah, because you saw some of it. Could you see me?
You could just see parts of it. It was dark. And then there were lots of people coming in. And then it was like you were struggling.
Yes. The Wi-Fi wasn't working. And they hadn't figured out how to do this. There was no screen or anything. It was a strange situation. So I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry.
It was a godsend because that day in particular, long story short, I was leaving the next day for a 10-day vacation, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And the timings of the day, it just ended up being like I got this extra hour that I wasn't planning on that was
freed up
so much space. So it actually, yeah. I'm in a much better headspace to chat today than I was then.
Great.
So it worked out
good.
Perfect.
Oh, good. I'm glad, Sarah, because I was so eager to talk to you. I'm such a fan of yours.
Likewise.
You went for 10 days to Hawaii?
Yeah, went for 10 days. We were on Oahu in Honolulu for 2 days, and then we went to Maui for 8 days, and it was just...
Oh, man.
Man, it was great. Oof. It was great. Yeah. We caught this lunar eclipse that happened. There was a full lunar eclipse, and we got it on top of the Haleakala crater. That's on Maui.
Oh my God.
And so it was like Tatooine. It was like landing in Star Wars. It was crazy.
Yeah, beautiful. I bet. Oh, I love that. That's such a clear visual reference. Yeah. And if I always say, if you're going to see a lunar eclipse, do it on the top of a crater.
I've heard you say that.
Yes. Oh, this is my thing. This is an annoying, like, cliche question. Do you surf? Is that one of the reasons, one of the draws?
No, I don't surf. I have what I like to call a healthy fear of the ocean.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a super strong swimmer, so I just like stay. I even get like a little. I'm like my boyfriend took a video of me like going into the ocean, and unbeknownst to me, and I'm like I am the personification of nervous energy. I'm just like, uh-huh. Oh God, am I on my wet? And like, oh God, is the wave getting too strong? It just, no.
When you saw the video, was it a surprise that you were you more nervous looking than you even felt? Or was it?
1,000%. Yeah. Yes. I never move through the world the way I think I move through the world. So it's a challenge to be someone who like gets, you know, videotaped and photographed. I'm like, wow, that didn't come out the way I thought it would have.
Right. In my head, I was a lot cooler.
But, right.
Well, that it's surprising to me because you do seem, and I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but you do seem really cool in your recordings and your concerts. I've seen a bunch of your stuff and you seem so relaxed and confident. The way you interact with the audience, you often have people sing and join in, and you do. You're very funny, and you seem very carefree when you perform.
Well,
is that not accurate?
I think it. You know, that is one of the places where I probably am the most comfortable. I love being on stage, and I think there really is a lot of merit to that 10,000 hours thing, where it's like I really have spent so many hours on stage in front of an audience that it's at this point a very familiar and like beloved space to be in.
I bet. It seems that way. What does throw you then? I mean, what's in the rare occasion that you're thrown and you know, you're wobbly, you get wobbly, or does that not happen?
I think, you know, public speaking is like a deep fear, deep like seated fear of mine. And I think, whenever I tell that to people, it's like, oh, but you seem so comfortable in front of people. And I'm just really, it's like, as soon as I'm supposed to speak about anything with authority, like the only thing I'm good at is making stupid jokes and like interstitial monologue between songs.
Outside the music thing, I relate to that so much. I can get up and do bits, and I have a narrow window of like a comfort window. But that's what it is. It's funny. I've never really been able to articulate. It's anything with authority outside that narrow window is terrifying.
Totally. And it could be something that I feel very passionate about and feel like very knowledgeable on. And it's soon as the camera's going, or if I'm like, God forbid, I have to like actually talk to an audience. And I have so much admiration for, you know, people as I've over the last handful of years kind of embraced more like activism work and advocacy work. it's a space I really want to be good at. I just
me too.
Am like, my hips are sweating and I'm like I just know. A mess.
I know. It's so odd. I know. I got to introduce, I did some things with Bernie Sanders a couple of years ago, and I got to introduce him at a rally in Brooklyn, and had tons of people there in the park. And, you know, I've spoken at things, I've done stand-up type stuff and hosting things. I was shaking. I had everything written out, and I thought I would just kind of speak off the cuff, and I found myself, like, it was my first time talking to people.
Yeah.
That level of like nervousness and losing track of where I am, like shaky voice, really odd.
Totally. There's like my imposter syndrome gets really loud in those times where you're like, nobody
wants
to
think you are. Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you get in here?
Yeah. Let's check your bracelet. when I picture Humboldt County, it's like, I'm sure this is the cliche, but it's weed and it's kind of hippies post 60s. Comfortable, but liberal. Was it quiet? Was it that? Am I picturing the right thing?
I think there's absolutely elements of that that are very true. There is a lot of weed. It's not everywhere. Like I didn't grow up in a household that used marijuana at all. So for me, it wasn't like, but I had plenty of friends whose like parents were stoners. So it's not like it was so unusual to see, but it, Humboldt County is this really kind of interesting dichotomy of a little bit redneck culture and then this like very liberal, progressive kind of hip dip ideology as well. So it's interesting. You get very conservative people and very liberal, progressive minded people. So it's
and did you have friends who were kind of spanned all of that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, within my household, we have very conservative-minded people and me. It's like,
Wow. And so what was there? What did they think then when you wanted to pursue something creative? Was that frowned upon?
Well, that actually was kind of fine. I mean, my mom and my older sisters, so I grew up the youngest of three, and then my parents got divorced and my dad had a daughter with his second wife. And everybody's real copacetic, like good friends, and that was all like very progressive minded, actually. Yeah. Like very proud of my parents for how they've moved through their divorce. It was kind of amazing. Yeah. But my mom and my sisters were always involved in community theater, and so being a performer was like a part of our language within the household too. So
you would see your mom in plays. You grew up watching.
Oh yeah.
Mine too.
Really?
Yeah.
So, do you remember like being a little kid and going to see like?
Seeing like Noel Coward play. I remember she did like Blythe Spear. I remember more adult type plays seeing her, and it would always confuse me a little bit when she had a husband, like a very, and he was always very, they were heightened. I remember thinking like, why are they so loud? And they're being so, because my dad is not like that at all. And it's weird that she's holding his hand and but I grew up with that. Yeah.
I remember seeing my mom in a show called The Dining Room. And there's a scene in the show where the adults have to act like children and they go underneath the dining room table. And I was watching my mom play a little kid, and I was in hysterics. Like I was laughing so hard, and my mom's like, I almost couldn't remember my lines because I could hear you laughing so hard. It was hilarious to me to see my mom acting like a little kid.
I bet. So was she like that in life? Was she playful? Was she good at like telling story, like reading to you and stuff?
Oh yeah.
My mom, that's great.
Very, very animated. She's a wonderful hostess. She would throw great parties. Like we would have really imaginative birthday parties. And I remember one year my sister, they went to Hawaii at my house, and they like everyone had Lays on, and they pretend they got little motion sickness pills, which were M&Ms. My mom's ran a pharmaceutical company from the house.
Whoa.
No, not really. No, she like pretended she was a flight attendant and took the kids on a flight to Hawaii, and it was cute.
Oh my God. That's really cool. When did you know you were good at singing? I mean, I know that's a, I don't know, it's kind of a silly question, but like, I always wonder that about really great singers. Like, what was, do you remember, was there a moment where it was like, oh my God, I can do this?
I think it was just, maybe more so than having any kind of, understanding of whether or not I was good. It was something that I loved. I loved it. I loved singing with my sisters, and particularly we would do, like three-part harmony on Amazing Grace or like Christmas Carol. Like I always loved Christmas time. And when I think back, I think it was because we did like a lot of singing and like singing around decorating the tree. And it was like very musical. And then as
would
I
you go caroling?
No, not as much. I did a little bit when I got into high school. I was in a, I was in a little singing group, an a cappella group that we started. A couple of my like classmates and I started, and we called ourselves A Splash of Color. And our whole gimmick was that we wore all black and then everybody chose a different color scarf. So it was, we were in high demand, let me tell you.
That's good. My brother, he wanted me to ask you about a cappella because he was in a group in college. He loved a cappella.
Oh my God, me and too.
He wants to know if you prefer the sound of co-ed a cappella to all women or to all men. He wondered if you had a preference.
Oh, well, I love the richness of co-ed a cappella. I just feel like you can get the sort of the range of sound, but I think that there's really so many incredible groups like that. I don't know that you would always totally know. Like there's some women out there who are like sing real bass where I'm like, wow, I can't even believe your voice can do that. And the only thing I don't like about what I see in some of the a cappella, and I think I'm guilty of this too, is that when it gets recorded, sometimes they over perfect it. They overproduce or it gets like, you know, tuned within an inch of its life. And I really love the sort of organic sound of voices singing together. It's so, and I went in college when I started with my a cappella group, Awaken A Cappella. I remember feeling like I found my people. I couldn't believe how much I didn't know what I was missing until I started singing in that group. And then they became my closest friends. And I was just so fulfilled by that.
Well, you must have to be, I mean, to be that close for those harmonies too, you must have to be so in tune, I guess. I mean, and not literally, and also, you know, just energy wise, you must have to be very kind of closely tuned to one another.
Yeah, I think you do. You spend a lot of time together, but I think, and people who sing a cappella music will probably relate to this. It's like, it's also this like slight sense of delusion. Like everybody in the a cappella group feels like we're the coolest people in school. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, everyone's like, you're in the a cappella group.
Yeah, nerd. Yeah.
Yeah, completely. But it just like felt, I mean, amazing. Just euphoric.
Oh, no. Hey, can you hear me? Oh, I'm glitchy. I'm frozen. I can see myself frozen. This is truly a nightmare.
I feel like there's like a bigger force at work here or something, right?
Someone doesn't want us to do this. Well, we were talking about a cappella and then the transition into, I mean, to go from loving singing, loving a cappella in college to, I mean, that's a leap that so many people want to make. Was that when you were there, were you thinking, I want to do this for a living? Was it that direct?
Man, I think, you know, when I went from small town, Eureka, California, we talked about that a little bit.
Day two, I think. Uh-huh.
Chapter two.
Yeah. Chapter three.
When I moved to LA and boy, I really was excited by the current of the entertainment business in Los Angeles in a way that I don't think I was quite expecting. I was like, it was fascinating and it felt like, oh, could I possibly? But I was so early in my UCLA years and I was really shy in certain ways especially about music. I didn't really like play my songs for anybody at that point.
Oh, so you certainly weren't ready to say to people, I want to do this for a living, or maybe even to yourself. Yeah.
No. I would like play songs in my room. I mean, in my freshman year, I didn't even have, I would sneak into the music rooms in the music department on campus. No. I didn't do music. Really? I went to the music placement exam. I thought, oh, I'll take a music class. I love music. And the theory portion of it was, I mean, I'm putting in quotes, so hard. It was like right out of G major scale, but I literally didn't know any theory. So I was like, I turned the test over and I left the test. I'd left the placement exam, which was stupid. I should have just like answered what you can answer and I'll put you somewhere, right?
See where you were put. Yeah. But the fear of rejection, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. So I didn't end up, I would sneak into the rooms and I'd play the pianos and then people would eventually knock on the doors and be like, you don't belong here.
I thought you were going to say the opposite.
Yeah. Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like a Goodwill Hunting situation and like, wow, what? Where's that sound coming from? Not that he,
it was weird. I was also doing math on the walls, which was also weird. And so in a lot of ways,
while you were a custodian. Well, but you must have been, people must have heard that and thought, I mean, you must have been good is what I'm saying. I mean, I know it's hard to answer that probably without sounding too.
I didn't get that sense in the moment. I think everyone at that age is also so obsessed that like, nobody's really paying attention.
Uh-huh.
But in the a cappella group, for example, it was like, I would, you know, get the solos sometimes. Uh-huh. They were pretty evenly spread out, but like we sang one of my songs in my a cappella group. I had a song called Gravity. I still have a song called Gravity. Yeah, and we did an a cappella arrangement of that song.
So you were writing back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was writing, but I wasn't sharing it very often.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I was writing.
How do you connect with an audience in such an intimate way, I guess? Is there ever a...
You know, I think I got positive reinforcement really early on with actually that same song, Gravity. That was one of the first songs that I had written about. I wrote it about my high school boyfriend who like broke my heart. And I was so disappointed in my inability to like not call him back. Or like, I felt like there was this gravitational pull towards this person. And no matter what I was saying to myself internally and all my like self-righteous feminist views, I'm like, I'm still going to fucking drive over there right now. Like it was just, it was miserable. I was miserable. But it was like a drug.
But everyone talks in those terms. I mean, that's the beauty of your music and of music in general, I think. It's like,
I agree.
Yeah.
It like gives language totally. To a universal truth.
Yeah.
And I think that that early song was one of the first times that I could see that the more I could be willing to share my deepest vulnerabilities, the more there was like connective tissue with an audience, which made me feel less alone, which made them feel less alone, which all of that was just like positive reinforcement. I'm like, well, I feel better. You feel better. This is all just good news. So I started being more and more kind of confessional in my songwriting. And I think that that has only just continued.
Your shows feel that way. Like they're, I mean, in the best way, in like a really lovely way, they feel like everybody's kind of feeling these things together.
We do a lot of feeling.
Yes.
My friend always talks about people, those two categories of people. There's wet people and there's dry people. And like, I am a wet person. I cry all the time. And so I don't necessarily cry on stage that often, but I have big feelings. And music has been a literal lifesaver for me because it gives me a place to process these really big and uncomfortable feelings.
Well, I felt that when you played Mary. I mean, I felt that in Jesus Christ Superstar. I think it was like a weirdly good time for us to end on chapter two when we did because I was on the verge of really getting into it and probably embarrassing myself. But it makes sense that you say that about yourself. You have those feelings. It makes sense when I consider how much you made me feel. And still, whenever I listened to that soundtrack, but seeing it was like, was that strange to connect to somebody else's writing, somebody else's words? Or was it just such a powerful story that it was like, oh, I'm in it?
You know, it was interesting because it came right on the heels of one of the runs I did in Waitress. So I think Waitress was this really sort of beautiful bridge towards telling someone else's story, but it was still in my voice in some way. I mean, in that I wrote the songs for it, but I, but then I got to take on the role of Jenna and kind of tell this story that I didn't write. And the songs that I did write, but I was trying to interpret someone else's work, you know? So, I think it was an interesting bridge into then going into Jesus Christ Superstar. And there was such care in that production. I mean, the material is so fucking genius. They were in their, they were like in their early 20s when they wrote that shit. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Do, 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 do,
shaboom. Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled babbel.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
There are rare performances. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about what you did in that show, where it is impossible to act. You can't act that level of like warmth and purity. And having seen it, I just knew you'd be a warm. You'd be the fact that you channeled that so effectively without like doing a you delivered in such a fucking direct, pure way. You did such justice to that music. That's it.
That is so kind.
I got to stop. I'm cutting myself off.
I love it. No, my God. I'm so appreciative. I know. It felt like a really, I mean, that was such an unforgettable experience to do. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl of musical theater.
Right,
it's like
right.
You're just like the one, totally. You got a one shot at this. Everybody's watching. Don't screw up. But the coolest part about making the show, I mean, the vibe backstage was just electric. But, you know, you have Brandon Victor Dixon.
Oh, who he is nuts.
Astonishing. And John Legend. And they had, you know, a tremendous amount on their plate. And they were both so cool as cucumbers. I'm like, well, I'm not allowed to be nervous. Or I don't know if they were like shaking on the inside, but they really presented as being very put together. So I was just like, okay, I just have to drop in and tell the story. And the words, the material is already perfect. So just, you know, it doesn't need anything. You don't need to.
Right. Help. So you really just do that one performance?
Yeah. I mean, we did, I guess there's a dress rehearsal. So I guess it kind of felt like two because there was somewhat of an audience for the dress rehearsal, or there was an audience for the dress rehearsal. So they could check out audio levels and cameras and how it's going to work with people in the seats and stuff. But yeah, it's just the one live performance.
Good Lord. And how long, what's the rehearsal process like? How long?
I think that we had 2 weeks, I only did, they rehearsed more days than I did because I was still in waitress. And so I was missing the first handful of days of rehearsal. But we had just an awesome, the company was so wonderful. The band was incredible. And David Lebeau, our director,
was so great in the room. Just, it was a very warm, safe space to tell this very tender story, obviously.
It felt that
way. It was
really
beautiful.
It seemed like that makes
and
sense.
And that final image with the cross and like disappearing. Oh. I mean, you see me on the footage, like I'm actually crying. It's so moving in the moment.
So moving. Like, yeah, really.
So moving.
Oh, that's right. Because again, yeah, you're only seeing it for the first time all done together. Wow.
Oh yeah. And like with the lights and then, you know, John's voice and obviously the story itself, but yeah, really moving.
Oh, so it's interesting to think about just that one performance. So in that sense, it might be there's something that kind of lends itself to really fully investing and like immersing. I mean, you can really be present.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't have time to like try shit out.
Yeah.
You got to just go for it. Strong and wrong.
Oh, how
well. I was like, I was going to try Mary with a Southern accent and then it felt wrong. But.
Well, wait till week three. When I'm starting to get a little bored. How long did you do waitress for? A long time.
I've done it, I guess, 4 or 5 different times. And usually for around 2 months at a time. So I'll go in for 10 weeks or 8 weeks or 6 weeks or something like that.
Wow.
I've done it in London. I've done it on Broadway a few times. Yeah. I love doing it so much. That show is just like, that's my baby. It's exhausting. The Broadway schedule is absolutely.
Oh, man.
Just. I couldn't believe when I started working in the theater that I was like, you know, musicians, we think we're working so hard. Uh-huh. I'm like, we have the cushiest jobs ever. Like these theater actors are so dedicated and so disciplined and they do so much work. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's wild. I can't imagine. Doing a musical though, adding the voice element on top of it, having to was that something you had to retrain to do that level of commitment, like in terms of just technically?
Yeah, it's it's a little different. So I'm used to touring, obviously, and the slight difference that is actually kind of to my benefit is that in the show, you know, Jenna's character is singing maybe 6 or 7 songs over the course of the night, so there's not as many.
If
I go on tour, I'm singing 21 songs
right.
And they're all me. And so I'm singing a lot, but it's like a muscle. Your voice is like a muscle and it does take, I have to be really rigorous about sleep and hydration. So can't go partying too much when you're in the Broadway show.
Yeah.
So
you feel
like,
it, huh?
You live like a monk. Yeah.
I tried one night. Oh, I'll never do it again. One night where I was like, you know what? We've been on for 2 weeks. I gotta have some drinks. Tomorrow night, we don't have a matinee, 7 o'clock. And to be that level of hungover, that's something I never want to experience again.
My thing with when you're in the run of a show, the paranoia about getting sick
is
not something that I miss.
Yeah.
I it is this low-grade panic at all times that somehow you're contracting something. And now people are going to have to do it after, you know, post-pandemic, which is like
it. All
of those things that you already feel where you like, okay, I don't touch anything. I don't kiss anyone. It's a paranoia for sure.
The last like really gushy question / just gush is when your cover of Yellow Brick Road.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you liked it.
Well, that's quite an understatement. Let me get to it. I loved it, of course, the original, but a friend, somebody played it and I was in a beautiful setting. I was already in like I was on a lake and like, it was like a transcendent moment listening to it. For anyone who hasn't heard it, who is still listening to this, like stop this right now and just hear. It is really incredible. Just, I still think about it and get emotional. But more importantly, do you know what Elton John, I'm so curious what Elton John thought of it.
He loved it.
I got
to know Elton a little bit. I did a charity event that he runs for breast cancer fundraising, awareness and fundraising. And so he has a breast cancer charity. And I did their fundraiser gala. And I sang that song for Elton John in the room. And he sang Gravity with me.
Oh, no,
so
shit.
We befriended each other. And he's, when I talk about who really shaped my life as a musician, he is one of the top three. It's like Billy Joel, Elton John, Carole King.
Oh, wow.
Joni Mitchell. Like, you know, it's.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the people that I really, really studied.
Uh-huh.
And
How surreal.
So yeah, he loved it. He loved it. I think he loved that it was, you know, a slightly, there was
there's a mournful
my own interpretation of it, but it, I think it does, which is sort of how I approach what I'm doing a cover. I'm not as much interested in a total reinvention because I feel like as someone who makes songs, I'm like, well, I did it that way for a reason.
right. You know, it's like, I got too much nice of it. Yeah.
It's nice to honor sort of the original structure, and the song is, that song is just such a journey in of itself anyway. So,
and a classic, you're making like chicken parm, like you want to keep certain, like the tomato
something.
Sauce.
Something. Exactly. Oh. So no, he loved it. He loved it. I bet. So that was like, you know, A plus for Milton.
How surreal must that have been? How cool. But you mentioned those other inspirations. Well, now I'm curious about Joni Mitchell. If you were to do a cover of Joni Mitchell, what would you pick?
Well,
if somebody like from the audience requested, like spur of the moment,
I think it'd be California. Or it might be Case of You.
I want to hear them.
Case of You was one of the songs I listened to over and over and over again in college. But California was, I think I knew Case of You, to be honest, because it was on the Practical Magic soundtrack. Do you remember that movie with
I do remember the movie. I don't remember the soundtrack. I didn't know that, really.
I think it was on that. It was on that soundtrack. But then in my third year of college, I went away to Bologna, Italy, and I studied for a year in Italy. And I had this kind of mystical moment where I rediscovered I discovered Joni Mitchell through by way of this. It was a small jazz orchestra maestro, my friend Michael Bruscia, who still lives in Bologna. He was an expat who lives over in Italy, and he has for a long time. And I was in a deep depression. I was like, couldn't figure out why. I just didn't feel okay. I was desperately homesick, and I went out in the middle of this horrible rainstorm to find this tiny music studio because someone had told me that there was a music studio. I didn't even know what I was going to ask for piano lessons or something. And the lid or the gate was pulled down and didn't seem like anyone was really in there. I knocked on the door anyway, and Michael came to the door, and he could very quickly hear. I mean, I was speaking Italian to him, but he could very quickly hear I had an American accent. Uh-huh. He's like, "Oh, where are you from?" And we started speaking in English, and it was such a relief to just like connect with someone. I was so homesick. And he had me sit down in the back at the piano, and we just started talking music, and I played him a couple songs, and I played him Gravity, and then he played me California by Joni Mitchell. And I just remember my back was to him, and I was facing the keys of the piano, and I was just weeping. I was so, there was something about like remembering that music can hold all of this angst and all of this fear and depression. Like there's a place to put it.
Well, will you take me as I am, strung out on it? Oh God. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was that song, I think, just has special significance to me.
What a beautiful story. Yeah. What a great story. And that, and it did that, those moments. I know those moments also through your, I mean, as so many people do now through your music. Funny segue, though, Case of You. Now I also want to hear you do, if I may be so bold to request a song, I would love to. I wonder what you think of Joan Baez, and you have a there's a look. I don't know, a feel, a Joan Baez sometimes.
Yeah.
But
man,
Diamonds and Rust.
That. Amazing.
That's okay. Just put that in the back here.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna put that in the back. And when it happens, you'll know it's because of
you. Forget it. I'll have a heart attack.
I'll seed your name in there somewhere.
Forget it. It'd be a game over. That's the last thing I want to hear before I leave the earth. A Case of You, though, it's funny segue, if I can make it. You can't talk about a segue. You just have to make it, right? But so far, so good. But my brother and I, our friend Kier, we wrote a movie called The Case of You about whatever. The song factored in heavily. This guy was trying to learn the guitar, and he wants it's this girl that he likes. It's her favorite song. And we couldn't get the rights. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just so expensive, which is why
I'm sure. Yeah.
We weren't practical magic. but we, so So we had to, we replaced the song with Diamonds and Rust, and that then became, which I love, I fucking love that song. But the director was Kat Coiro, the director of that movie.
No way!
Yeah, weird, right? Small world. Yeah.
God, did I love Kat. Oh my God, I fell madly in love with her. What a
She's lovable.
She's a firework.
She is a firework. She's a lovable firework. Yeah, and I the show's so funny. It's the new show on Peacock called, I'm not telling you, you probably know this already, Girls Five
Eva. Picked up on that. Yeah.
It's called Girls Five Eva. You should check it out.
You're in it.
It's so weird to look at somebody and say that. Yeah, Kat Busy Phillips is really funny. I mean, you're really like the anchor of the show. And funny, so funny, like really, like broad, aww, but done in a grounded way. And it's great. What is that something that you wanted? Was that deliberate? Was that like, I kind of just want to do, I want to do a funny thing.
Oh, no, it was just like another, I felt like it was a lifeboat that Tina Fey reached down from the heavens and was like, let me save your life with this other new left turn that you never thought you were going to take. It was, I mean, I got a phone call. Well, I guess the script got sent through management, and then I had a call with Tina and Meredith Scardino, who's the creator showrunner. And it was in the middle of the pandemic. It was, I think it was around June when we spoke. So I was in a really bad place. And I think I was, I mean, I was here in New York City. The city was emptied out. It felt apocalyptic. The novelty and the charm of staying inside all day was like fucking out the window. Yeah. I was like, please bring me my straitjacket because I'm losing my mind. And then I got this call and I had a friend who was going through chemo at the time. One of my very, very best friends, my just like 20-year best friend. And he passed at the end of last year.
Sorry.
And so I was just like, I was so many layers of what was happening. And then I said, yes, of course, because I was like, this is could not be a more perfect recipe of all of my favorite things. Not only do I look up to both Tina and Meredith and I'm a fan of their work and what they create, but it's musical. Jeff Richmond is writing the music for this. It's like, it's just going to be, and then I didn't know. I mean, I think I was the first one on board, so I didn't have other castmates to respond to, but I was like, whatever this is, I'm in to try this, you know, take a big swing. And then when we started shooting, it felt like a miracle to be at work, to be able to go. We were all, I think, cast, crew, executives, everyone was so present to the feeling of what a privilege it was to work at all.
Totally.
Because we'd all been just like sitting at home.
Yes.
Doing puzzles or whatever.
Yes.
Making bread. And I was just so grateful. I was so grateful.
I remember
wonderful.
That feeling. I remember a cat felt similarly. It was funny. She was staying at my place in Massachusetts where I first heard Yellow Brick Road. You do Yellow Brick Road. Isn't that odd? Her family was at my cabin up there, and
that's amazing.
Yeah,
so I remember her talking about being in Massachusetts at a cat. That's your place,
my place. Amazing. Yeah, but I remember there was she would have moments of like, and I don't think I had worked yet, and I was chomping at the bit, obviously, and like was you know really living vicariously through friends who were. But there were moments where it was like, because of all the COVID restrictions, it was like, God, we have to now wait a week. We can't get that location. I'm sure you remember like things shutting down. But she said, and I experienced this later, I mean, my level of patience for shit like that, for things in general, was like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like through the roof. It's like a different person. You said it, the gratitude, the appreciation for getting to do that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
We got tested every day, every morning. You had to get your results and then go, and like,
yeah.
And there was a tremendous amount of patience for even just like the protocol and when it would shift and what would change.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, our first AD Stuart yelling at us all the time to like, keep your mouth, face shields on. And like, and you're just like, everybody's just doing
the job.
Their job, and they're trying to make it so we can actually get through the end of this schedule. And we did miraculously.
Yeah. And well, I'm glad you did. It's really, it's so good. And is that something that might continue? Would you want it to continue?
1,000%.
Oh, good.
Desperate to get a season two.
Oh, good. Okay,
so
well.
We've been so lucky. The response has been amazing. We got
great reviews. Yeah.
People are loving the show. And it's so fun. It feels like comfort food to me. It's like,
good.
You know, it's fast and funny. And it's the way Tina sort of like pitched it to me was like, if you're a fan of 30 Rock, it's a little bit of like the rhythms of 30 Rock.
Yes. But with
a slightly warmer heart.
Yes.
So it's got a little bit more heart, but it's high jokes per minute.
It's true. That's
wacky.
True.
It's true. Really fun.
It's well said. Yeah. It is a hybrid of that. And a lot of the heart is provided by you, I would say, by you and your character. And but still you're right. It's dense with funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really tried to make, cause it is so zany and it's so much fun to play you know, but I think my character, you're right, is sort of the one that's like holding the strings of the balloon.
Yeah, exactly. Tethering the maniacs. Yeah. But it's also, all that stuff must have been fun. The flashback stuff, because it's about a girl group that was around in the like early 2000s, I guess.
Late 90s.
Destiny's Childish sort of thing. It must have been fun to just, because that was probably like a formative time for you. It must be just fun to spoof that.
I feel like some of my big fantasies of a life in the music industry, yes, I'm actually getting to live out now.
Totally.
As a 41-year-old woman who like has a career in the music industry, and I'm getting to like put on those crazy outfits that I never was even, I wouldn't even have considered wearing at the time. It was just too flashy.
But you kind of looked up to, but you kind of admire, you thought it was cool.
Oh my God, I was obsessive about Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, but I always knew that wasn't me. I was such a fan.
But now you get to try on the pants. That's really cool.
Yeah.
How fun.
Literally. Yeah. And they're low riding and just, they show your butt crack.
Revealing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thigh, what do they call it? Thigh. Yeah.
Thigh huggers?
I don't know. I don't know. But how does that now compare? It just in the wanting to do it and in the joy, the newfound appreciation. Are you that much more excited about playing, about touring again?
Oh my God, yes!
Yeah.
I guess what was at least one of the very first live shows back in New York City at the Beacon Theater.
Oh, no shit.
I did a charity event for Love Rocks New York City, which a benefit concert that benefits God's Love We Deliver. Which
yes, I love them.
Meal delivery service. Yes. They do incredible work. So they do this huge concert, and it's, John Bon Jovi and Gary Clark Jr. and Yola and myself and Emily King and, got all kinds of wonderful people brought together, and it was like 1,000 people in the audience.
Oh man.
Was wild.
I bet.
It was amazing. It makes me so excited to get back in front of an audience.
I bet.
So excited. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned them. God's Love We Deliver. Yeah. People should check out. It's a really great, meal delivery.
Incredible.
And it was so needed, you know, obviously during COVID, it was a huge asset to so many people. How cool. Cool, you guys did that. Lightning round, and then until episode 4, you're done. I lose you. Thank you, too. Truly, like, I really appreciate you hanging out.
I'm curious how much of the, in the editing, how much of the technical,
I think
you have to talk about it, right?
We have to. I think what really disappointed me, I was really kicking myself after the second one, after chapter 2, because so much of that I spent talking about, can you believe what happened after that first time? You know, and like going on about the fucking studio and like how it didn't work for me. And I was like, that was such wasted time. I was just talking about how I had messed up.
No, it was all meant to be.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
Right now, Prime members can get 4 months free of Amazon Music Unlimited to enjoy 70 million songs. Obviously, you probably wouldn't listen to them all at the same time, but you can enjoy those songs whenever you want, on demand, and ad-free. That is their best offer ever. So go to the Amazon Music app or amazon.com/lifeisshort to get started. It's a limited time offer. New subscribers only. Terms apply. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
When your work presentations and docs look good, you look good.
Design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva.
Start with a designer-made template and use it as a springboard for your design.
Add images, graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library.
If you feel like you have a lot of ideas, but it's hard to organize them into a succinct format, I can relate.
Yeah, so when we're putting together a pitch deck for a movie idea that we have that we're currently working on, mm-hmm. We're not going to use an old-fashioned deck. We're going to use Canva so our deck really pops. It's a complete game changer. So presenting our creative ideas, it's going to be like never before. We're going to wow people with our decks.
Wow any audience and finish your work faster.
Start designing today at canva.com, designed for work.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
What is your lightning? Fast, and then you're okay. Out of here. I swear. What is your most commonly used emoji? Would you say your go-to?
The heart, the red heart. I think.
Yep. Yeah. This is not in it, but out of curiosity, now, if you were to do a cover of Billy Joel, what do you think?
She's got a way about her. I love that song.
Keep going.
Don't know what it is. I'm terrible with lyrics. I just did one of these like song association things for Elle magazine, and I was appalled at how, I guess I don't have a memory retention gland. I don't remember lyrics of anything.
And but can you just go? Is that what you end up having to do?
Yeah, that's what I end up doing.
In fact, on your live album, I think don't you lose?
I'm sure I fucked up the lyrics at some point.
I think they're much so funny. Oh, I'd be the same way, minus the angelic voice. I would just forget things. If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play?
God, lightning. Okay.
Basketball? Yeah.
Basketball?
Yeah.
No, I don't really. No, I think it would be maybe soccer.
Okay. Good answer.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. That's what I've gathered. That's what I didn't want to answer for you, but that was how I interpreted that. Yeah, you don't care about sports.
I
guess I'm
like, I don't want to run that much either, right. So I don't want to do either of
well,
those.
Well, it's...
Hockey, maybe?
Okay.
You have to wear so much gear. I don't want to. My next question.
All right, next
question. I'll sing for them.
Okay, great. Yeah, the national anthem. Well, have you done the national anthem at stadiums?
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't like doing the national anthem because I...
You hate America.
I have a little bit of issues that it's just all about war.
Yes. That,
like there's a better version of what we say about our country. But
yeah.
I also just the pressure of that. Even though I've sung that song many, many times, I feel like I'm always gonna forget the lyrics. And then the pressure of it is so intense.
God, I bet. Yeah. I bet. And also the forum. It's like people are there to see people play a game. Like they're not there for that. It's like getting to the thing they really want to see. That psychologically must be weird.
I agree.
God. So my brother just asked if you had a year, and I'm curious about this, maybe we should incorporate this. If you had a year to train, which Olympic event do you think you would be best suited for? I mean, if like you had to, like you have a year, which Olympic event? He said archery.
Year to train.
I thought like luge because you could just sit in the thing.
I was thinking about the luge too, but what's the one where they like scrub the?
Oh yeah, that's curling. Which
curling.
Another friend of ours said, but apparently that's like really not to shit on your answer, but apparently that's really hard to do. Any curling heads out there?
I guess we're. And are we just? Is it Winter Olympics only?
No, either one. It's got to be in the Olympics though.
High jump.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you could have one, if you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, like you're just fucking guilty, whatever.
Does pizza count, or is that too much of a meal?
Yeah, it's a meal, but who cares? You want to just snack on
pizza?
Something.
I mean, I could eat pizza for every meal.
Really?
Every morning, noon, and night is my favorite thing in the world.
And you're in New York now.
Yeah.
Where's your place?
I have a few.
Okay.
So my old neighborhood, I live down in Nolita, and Ruby Rosa Pizza is down there. And Ruby Rosa, if you can get it fresh, don't fucking do the delivery thing. You have to go eat it or go pick it up and eat it on the street. Like, it has to be fresh. Ruby Rosa, their classic pepperoni is maybe my favorite.
But then,
now I live uptown, and there's a place called Mama's up here, and there's... We're kind of close to this place called Mama's too. Mm-hmm. And they have a deep dish pepperoni.
Really?
It might knock Ruby Rosa out of the...
Mama's too?
Mama's too.
Okay.
Mama's as well.
Oh,
Mama's
okay. Cool. And so there's a Mama's
awesome.
No, Mama's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know. Okay. Really good to know. I love asking
really
people.
Really amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing pizza. Yeah.
Great. And what is your favorite movie that you would love to introduce if you had a kid? When you have a kid, if you have a kid, a movie that you would really like be eager to introduce them to? Like, oh man, I can't wait for them to see this.
Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
I think that movie is just that. It's such a cliche answer. I know so many people love it. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. It holds up.
I know.
It's just incredible.
It comes on all the time. And every time I have to watch, you know, it's so comforting. It's like seeing an old friend, you know.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's been in my head lately that a moment in that movie where Peter Falk's looking for his glasses. Do you remember the angles?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know why.
So good.
What is your interesting to ask singers this. Your go-to karaoke song, if you were to do karaoke.
Yeah, it used to be "Son of a Preacher Man." Dusty
Springfield. Man, I love to hear that song.
Mm. I love that song.
Fuck.
But the other night, I heard Pat Benatar, We Belong.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I need to do this song.
Oh, man.
I love that song.
Ugh. Even if we were friends, we'd hang out socially. You couldn't go to a karaoke place. I'd get too weird when you're singing.
I find karaoke is very stressful.
Oh, really?
Even when I've gone in Japan when it's like...
The private rooms?
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, in the private room, I can't say that I enjoy karaoke. I really enjoyed karaoke when we used to do it. We used to do it once a month after Waitress on the Broadway stage. And we did Waitress karaoke.
No
and we
kidding.
Would invite fans up and they would sing excerpts of songs from the show.
That's
with the Waitress
cool.
band. And they would do their, so it would be their Broadway debut. They're singing a song from the show that they love.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was really, really fun.
Yeah. Oh, what a great way to interact. I'm surprised you don't like it because you'd be so good. But then I think... You also don't want to show off, probably.
No, it's like all this
probably.
Pressure.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, do I sound okay? Is there enough reverb? It's like too technical.
Did you ever go to Marie's Crisis? You must love it there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do love it there.
I bet.
Not to sing really, but just I love the environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soaking it up. Who was your first celebrity crush?
I think probably Leonardo DiCaprio.
Uh-huh.
I was very...
What's Eating Gilbert
Grape? Romeo and Juliet was the... Or I don't... Did Titanic come first?
I think Romeo and Juliet was before.
Yeah, that whole 1-2 punch.
Oh,
and
man.
Then I went on a Leo bender. I would like write him letters. And, you know, try to be like clever in the letters. Being like... I would write it in my diary. Like, you'll see, diary. I'll make him mine.
That's so funny. I was just talking to a friend, my girlfriend, about this. About... Leo and like the love of, which I completely get. There's the
Romeo
and the talents and the, how could you not? But it's funny to think of how many people had that. How many women. What's your favorite fruit?
Apples. Mm-hmm. A really good Honeycrisp apple.
Honeycrisp, yes. But delicious. And if you had to get a tattoo, I don't know if you have any, but if you had to get another one, what would you get?
I've been thinking about this actually, because I feel like I might be orbiting getting another tattoo. Oh. And I think I would do something that is a reminder of my meditation practices at this point. It's something to the effect of like begin again or, you know,
that kind of, Sarah, with the same person I was talking about, Leonardo DiCaprio and Romeo and Juliet, I was talking today about that specific moment in meditation, because I'm just starting this thing called 10%.
That's my fucking jam.
No. Oh my God.
Yeah, you got to get on the podcast with Dan Harris. Yeah.
Oh, I did
the
podcast. To.
I'm a preacher for that.
Oh, man.
Like, I can't say enough good things about the app and about the podcast and all the work that they're doing. It's incredible.
I'm great. I'm new. I'm very new to it, but I already feel like, a transformative effect. Yeah. And begin again. I love that. I love the idea of, you messed up. Begin again.
You just have to,
reconnect.
Try. Yeah.
Funny. And who would you want to play you in your biopic?
Meryl Streep.
Okay. No. Yeah, wow.
No.
Why not?
No. I'm sure everybody says Meryl Streep.
No, and no one has.
Well, I think, let's see. I don't.
What's wrong with Meryl Streep playing you? I like that answer.
Oh, no. I mean, she'd be fucking incredible. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of, like, Meryl Streep gets all the jobs. So if I could think of one other person to get a job.
Oh, that's really, yeah.
Who do I just? Maybe one of the, maybe Alana Glazer.
Oh, yeah. How funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody, like, who's
got, like, hasn't gotten to do that kind of thing before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biopic.
I like a lot, yeah. And you have a similar vibe. I can
see that. She's funny, and I feel like you want someone who has a little bit of, who's not that she is a mess in her real life, but that's what I know from that quality of her character.
Yes,
she can. Someone who's like got a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, like fun chaos kind of.
Yeah.
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 Do you have a favorite Simpsons character? We used to ask favorite Muppets character. I don't know if you grew up watching the Muppets.
Yeah. Who, I'm trying to think if I ever had like a real favorite.
Someone you like gravitated to.
I mean, I think I was a real, like I had a real soft, maybe Beaker.
Oh, fuck, that's smart. Yeah. Again, he keeps coming up. My brother, who I do the show with, his fiance keeps calling him Beaker. And he's like, oh, thanks a lot. She's like, oh, in a fun, lovable.
He's so lovable. Yeah. Such a lovable quality. Yeah. Yeah, maybe Beaker.
Funny. That's great. Good answer. Yeah. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs. Do you have one?
Yeah. No, but we're kind of
circling,
chewing on that. Yeah. Just yesterday in our elevator, we were coming up and our neighbors were coming down with two dogs. And I'm like, oh, man, we're thinking about getting them. And the guy looks at us dead-eyed and was like, don't do it.
You know, it's funny.
Catch you on a bad day, man. Yeah,
Jesus. What kind of dogs are they?
They were two big dogs, and I think that they must have just, it's hot here right now.
Oh, forget it. Yeah. My God, I had a dog, a big dog, in the city, when you have a big dog in the city, I mean, winter, dead of winter or dead of summer is like,
Go take care of them. It's like hot poop on a sidewalk.
And peeing on a grate and like shame and people walking around them. Oh,
the dog shame.
Yes.
It's so real. I feel for them. I want to give them little doggy potties they can go into.
Yeah, a little like cover. Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Beatles for me.
Yeah. And I'm curious what song you would do of theirs. Like, or if you're just at a bar, you want to put a couple on the jukebox.
Yeah. Oh God, there's so many. I mean, I have done covers of Oh Darling because I just love that song.
Yes.
But
oh man, I'd love to hear that.
Something in the way she moves.
Oh my God.
No other lover. I think for me, because think the Beatles were so melodic, and I'm a real melody, like I was going to say whore, but I don't remember. I'm a little melody whore.
What?
I just love it so much. I really, I love it.
Yeah,
so yeah, I got really something. Go on the ride with the Beatles.
Yeah, I bet.
More the Stones.
Some, yeah, a bit of nerdy music trivia. So that song keeps coming up too. I love George so much, and Something was the first song that he got on the album, or like
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or like the first song on track, the A side, I think, of an album. And he so doubted his skills as a writer because of the dynamic in the group, you know, because he couldn't get music. He was like, they won't let me have songs on that. And that he almost gave it to Joe Cocker, that song. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been beautiful too.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup.
Yeah. Are you a vegetarian? Why do I think you're a vegetarian?
Yeah. No. I mean, all the meat.
Okay. Good. All go ahead.
Yeah.
and what are two adjectives you hope people use to describe you when you've gone, when you've left this earth?
Funny and kind.
Yes. Yes. Well, you've been both to me just in this.
Cool.
Truly. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a joy to connect and to chat. I'm a fan.
Oh,
so,
man.
Thank you.
Well, you know, likewise. I think I've established that I, maybe too much. But this is really fun. Each time. Each of these.
See you next week.
Tuesday
on a regular time.
Awesome. And we're gonna plug the shit out of Girls Five Eva. Because it's genuinely really great and funny. But also, I hope just as a fan of yours, as someone who likes you, I hope you get to keep doing it.
Oh, thanks. Me too. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to see you out there playing. I will be in the audience screaming requests. Like a maniac.
Profanity.
Yeah, profane requests. Do fucking gravity. Yeah.
Thank you. Have truly. A beautiful day.
You too. Thanks, Sarah.
Bye.
Well,
don't sing it. Well, that just happened. Oh, God.
It sure did. I'm glad you
stopped
me. You
got a little, like,
twinkle.
Whimsical look on your face. Well.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I was about to do that. Well, she, how about when she was singing just, like, a couple notes of songs? Like, when I was asking her about, like, hypothetically, what would you sing?
Uh-huh. You know, God.
Yeah, she's always.
You were like, keep going.
She's always a woman. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Is that what she's saying, the Billy Joel one?
She's Got a Way.
She's Got a Way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As beautiful as her singing voice is, she also has a remarkably beautiful speaking voice.
She does. I noticed that. Yeah, really clear.
Which, of course.
I know.
There's something so, like, breezy and cool and soulful about her. You know, she has, like, a real ease.
Well.
And, like, a cool confidence.
You know what? A friend of mine got me into, who also has the same ease and confidence, into this great app. Did we mention 10%?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I've only done it a couple of them. I'm short while into it, but it's like.
You seem a little chiller. How long? Like, a few days you've been doing it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It helps you be more, you're mindful of, and I think people who, she's been doing it, sounds like, for a while, you're mindful of what you say. You're more connected to the moment, to the present. That's
right.
What it's all about, is like connecting to the present. So I imagine it makes you, I think that might be what you're hearing. Of course, I didn't know her before she did this, but I think it makes you a better conversationalist, more connected.
Yeah, like she doesn't push anything.
No, I know.
But but that's also how she performs.
I know.
I mean, her performance in many things. But in Jesus Christ Superstar is like, you said to her, and you were absolutely right, that there's something present and there's nothing forced about it. It's just like she's there and she's not trying to do too much, but it's so real. Like, it's such an authentic, wonderful performance.
I know. And
I almost never want to use that word for it, wonderful. It made me like full of wonder watching that performance.
I recorded you listening to it. I mean, I have the proof. It's really funny.
Are we going
to
play that after? Voicemail?
I have so much of it because we listened to it. We were so full of wonder that I have a lot of that recording.
I mean, this conversation with her that you just had was, it could have been a lot weirder.
I thought, yeah.
You know?
In a way that those interruptions actually helped, because it was like, it forced me to just get back on track and not like be too indulgent with like how much I loved her music.
I was impressed by how little you were gushing compared to how you probably wanted to, felt. But you did, in like kind of a muted way, you were very complimentary for a long time.
It was extended.
And you kept, it was like a modest amount of compliments that went on for a long time.
yes.
You know, so you weren't like overly effusive at any point, which was good. But you like wouldn't drop it. And you're like, I can't, I'm going to be in the front row in your next concert.
Well,
you started to get a little like Steve Stark and waiting for Guffman.
Yeah.
Like, God, I wish that was the show.
The genius Michael Hitchcock. Well, you know what it was, I think, is I want to be honest, but I also don't want to make her uncomfortable. And I got the sense from her that I got the sense she might not like
That's true. I think you're right. But I also think that she's not the kind of person who exhibits false modesty.
Yeah, exactly.
So she won't be like, oh, no, don't, that's not. Like, she'd be able to take the compliment.
Yeah.
Even when, like you said about Elton John, what did he think of that, her rendition of Yellow Brick Road, which is incredible, like an amazing. And it's like, of course he liked it. But she said, instead of saying, oh, I don't know, I think he liked it.
You're right.
She was like, he loved it.
I'm telling you, it's honesty. It is, there's something so disarming about it. And it comes up a lot on the show. And it's like, we often say, like, oh, it's this combination of, they're confident, but without being douchey.
Yeah.
And I think that is that's the difference. It's if you're just being honest and you have the skills to back it up. I mean, I know it makes sense that Elton John would have loved it. It's an incredible version of his song. I mean, it's more than doing it justice.
Like anyone with ears would love that song.
Right. Exactly.
It's incredible. You didn't talk about this, but she was one of the, I just remember this. She was one of the judges on the Sing-Off, which was a pretty short-lived show. I think it was maybe three seasons. It was an a cappella. It was like American Idol, but for a cappella music.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where, Pentatonix, that group everywhere, they got their start there.
Oh, you love that show.
I love that show. Well, I love a cappella music.
I know.
Another reason why I love her.
Uh-huh.
Because she is like one of the best. She was like famous in collegiate a cappella.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was being a little modest when she was like, you know, I got some solos and they played.
Oh,
interesting. Like, she was known those circles. Yeah, she was like an incredible a cappella.
Oh.
And UCLA had a really great a cappella
group. What were they called?
I'm forgetting now. But that show was great. Huh. And Ben Folds was one of the judges.
I remember that.
Sean Stockman, one of the Boys Two Men. Oh, I would love to hear her cover A Case of You.
Oh, that'd be amazing. God. All of
Because also a lot of people.
And California.
Pretty much anything.
Did you hear when I like sang a little bit of it?
Yes.
I didn't even sing it because I knew you were going to listen.
You're like, California.
Oh, my God. I know. I want to just hear her sing everything.
Sing The Phone Book.
Oh, my God. I was just freaking
But A Case
sing,
of You.
Like,
and that song has been covered very well, I think, by some people James Blake.
Hopefully, future guest.
But hers would be amazing.
Oh, and who else covered it?
Javier
Colon.
He was the original winner of The Voice.
That's right. Shout out.
He was like the Kelly Clarkson equivalent on The Voice.
Oh,
you know, she was the first American Idol winner, and he was the first The Voice winner. Remember when we did that that show where we had to watch, God, I was with him, Celebrity Watch Party.
I always want to say like Death Match or something.
Celebrity Watch Party.
Celebrity Watch
Party. Where we just had to watch these shows.
Yes.
And the producers kept being like, all right.
It was like this time last year.
Yeah, maybe you're like really excited by this episode. And it was like, yeah, maybe I am, but that's not how I express excitement. So
Well, that's where we discovered. And they're like, well, maybe do it a little bit. They kept referencing Raven Simone because Raven was like, you know, she's exuberant. And they were like, oh, do it, you know, because Raven did it a little bit like this. Like when she saw this, you know, the guy getting hit in the face with the pie, she was like, damn, whoa, like, blah, blah, blah.
I know, but that's so Raven, but that's not so Christian.
I just.
Stupid.
No, it's not. That's a little too Raven. We kept making those jokes with them, and they're like, yeah. So anyway, if you could just be a little bit bigger.
And then the final cut was just us, like, the two times we were like, yes.
I know. One was, I think, genuine, but I do remember them using one where I was like, ah, fuck it. They have jobs to do. They want us to do this thing. And, like, they got, there are all these people set up stuff in our house. Like, we got, and we, like, kind of want this to be over. So we were like, damn. I remember being like, oh, smack. Oh, damn.
Oh, by the way, speaking of shows, our Family Feud's coming out soon.
I think. It is?
The season premiere was last night.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. They're going to let us know, right?
I think so. They'll want you to promote it.
Oh, yeah. That would be, it would be Raven of me to promote it.
That would be so Raven of you. She loves pizza. I like how much she likes pizza. And I realized that a good future lightning round question would be favorite pizza topping.
Oh, great.
Isn't that a good one? We should start doing that.
We should start doing that. That's a great one. I'm always curious about people's pizza orders and where they like
and
pizza
from. My go-to pizza topping is pepperoni, like hers.
You don't both have to have your go-to pizza topping be pepperoni.
I just had some that you had leftovers from Pepe's, and I just had a slice of your pepperoni pizza. Shout out.
You're getting into shout-outs.
Yeah.
Pepe's
They
is
feel
great.
Good. They do
don't
feel
they?
Good.
And yeah. Especially when it's a thing that's brought you so much joy like Pepe's.
Pepe's has brought me a lot of joy.
Oh, my God. They have one in New Haven and one near us in Fairfield, in Bridgeport.
There's a few of them. There's one in Hartford, I believe. There are a few of them.
Well, Sarah, if you're listening to this still, I hope you are. Yeah, check out Pepe's next time you tour around here.
Tour. You want to read a letter?
Okay. From Jessica. Subject, fan from Philly. Hi, Justin and Christian. I'm so glad that I discovered your podcast during the pandemic. It brings joy to my life during a rough time. Thank you so much, Jessica. It brought joy to us during a rough time. It makes me wonder if I should finally start podcasting because I always wanted to, but did not know where to start. Like many others this year, I've experienced grief, anger, frustration, isolation, and exhaustion, all hitting me in different ways and for different reasons. With the state of the world recently, it can all get too much sometimes. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. I feel like there is so much suffering and there's so much more I can do to help. Finding a podcast like yours brings joy into the world and allows me to realize it is okay to escape for a bit. I'm a public interest attorney in Philly, and I'm in the midst of a job transition. I am one of the lucky ones because I have temp jobs while I look for full-time work, as so many people are struggling for work. Your podcast brings much-needed laughs, and I'm always telling stories about the podcast. At the point people tell me, okay, we get it. You like a podcast.
That's funny.
That is funny. It's so nice.
Nice and funny.
And it's funny to imagine that she's actually, by being so nice about it, is maybe turning people off.
Yeah, it's funny to think that there are people out there who are annoyed by
without having heard us.
Yeah, just the set, just hearing our names.
Yeah, thanks to a very supportive.
I don't want to hear about that guy, yes, Justin Long, anymore.
Yeah. I hear about it so much at work, the last thing I want to do is go home and listen to it. So thanks, Jessica, but truly, thank you. One of my favorite parts of the podcast is the small clip at the end, very end, where you are chatting with family, sometimes about the simplest things. I also really love when Christian breaks down the interviews and how it naturally brings out a jolly riff between you both and how you engage in genuine discussion with one another.
Did she write jolly rift or riff?
Riff.
Oh, good.
Did I say rift?
I don't know. I couldn't.
Jolly riff, yeah.
Okay, good.
It is a jolly riff.
I don't know what a jolly rift would be.
Yeah.
A rift can't be jolly.
Maybe it can. A rift between like Santa Claus and his sibling. the Clauses. I don't talk to my brother, Chris Kringle, any much. Anyway.
Cody Kringle.
We had a bit of we had a rift. You love to laugh with one another, and it really shows. Sometimes that may seem small, but also something I love is how Justin transitions from the very end of the guest interview immediately to the lightning round and says, what's your favorite emoji, no matter what the guest was talking about. Sometimes the juxtaposition between the last thing said in the interview and the emoji question goes from heavy to light, and for some reason it always makes me giggle.
I agree with that. That is funny. It's often very funny.
Well, it's I guess the worse I do it, the less of a segue there is, the funnier it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both and your team for the show, and I hope that you guys continue it for a long time. Well, thank you, Jessica, and I wish you luck in the job transition. It sounds like, I mean, you sound very smart and you have great taste, so I'm sure you'll do, it'll be a smooth transition. I'm hoping it is. Here are two would-you-rathers. Great, two of them. Ooh. One, would you rather have a pet that lives less than its average lifespan, but has the ability to talk with you every day? Or would you rather have a pet who will live twice as long than average, but who does not have the ability to talk with you? You know, we've had versions of this before.
Yeah, but what does it mean to live less than
an average? Well, let's say, you know, a toad lives 6 years.
I love how you go right to toads when you think about pets.
Well, all right, Pomeranian.
Oh, boy.
What would a Pomeranian? You don't, you don't want to go there. Well, you'd rather have a toad.
Yeah, right? I would. But listen. I would go so far as to say I would rather have one day with a pet that I can talk to than a double lifespan of a pet I can't talk to.
Yes.
I think it just shows how not eager I am to have a pet.
Well, that,
and how fascinating it would be to talk to animals.
It would be, but also imagine, see, it might be a bit of a sentence to be able to talk to a pet, especially for like half its lifetime. Because even that, like, let's say you have a tortoise. I mean, they can live, some live over 100 years. That means for 50 years, what if they're kind of an asshole? I mean, what if you're, or they're like shaming you for not, and also like.
Here's what you can do with pets though. You can give them up for adoption.
You wouldn't want to. Can you imagine giving something that can speak up for adoption? Where are you taking me?
If he was an asshole.
Still, I mean.
No. If he was an asshole. If I had an asshole tortoise, I'd be able to give him up for adoption.
Or just, let's say they're not an asshole.
Put him on Pet Finder. Tortoise who talks, asshole, lovable, house trained.
Will live for at least another 40 years. But let's say they're totally fine. They're like benign. They're friendly enough. They're nice enough. And they're like, you know, you get along with them. But then when it comes to the, like, let's say it's a dog. Let's say it's like, you know, an Australian Shepherd. And it's like, oi, mate, would you mind taking me out for a, gotta go for a number two.
Well, you would want that because then there's no guesswork. Because often with dogs, you have to.
I know, but think
guess
about,
whether or not they have to go to the bathroom.
I know, but then you're
this
in
would
its,
be so easy.
But then you're in its company when it's. It'd be like, you mind looking away?
It doesn't matter. You're in its company anyway. What's the difference? You're saying you would. It would be like too personifying.
Yes, I would.
It would
imagine
be weird.
It would be too weird.
Treat them like a human.
Yeah, maybe.
For
sure. I already do treat dogs, especially. I mean, like humans. You know.
That's true. I know what you're saying, but I still think the thrill of able to communicate with an animal.
That's why I would do having a pet for a long time.
Well,
that's why I would do a day too. But I don't think you're looking at the like potential pitfalls of if you had half its lifespan, which is
it doesn't
years.
Say half its lifespan.
It does.
Lifespan.
It said
no less.
Oh,
than.
Less than its average.
That's
lifespan.
What I was wondering. What that means?
Could you pick how long it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you could, I would probably pick like 2 weeks with a talking toad.
Yeah. Oh, you'd pick toad?
No, I'd pick probably a hamster.
Whoa.
I like hamsters.
Are you trying to like make it right with Maggie now?
No, I do like hamsters.
Really? Hamsters have large testicles. You'd have to talk about that with the...
With the hamster?
Yeah.
What's there to talk about?
Well,
what's it like having
cumbersome?
Huge testicles?
Yeah, and you'd show them yours and be like, whoa, yours compared to my body, they're much...
I think I'd be embarrassed to show a hamster my testicles.
No, you wouldn't.
I think I would be. If my testicles are relatively...
They're still bigger than the hamster's.
Yeah, but relative to my body, they're much smaller.
Who cares? It might just make the hamster see things its own. It might see things differently. But it's not going to shame you for having, like, small testicles because yours would be... It'd be, like, as big as its body.
Is that the end of the letter?
Oh, sorry. Okay. Number two, would you rather have the ability to read other people's minds but have no control over whose mind you can read? It happens randomly. Or would you rather have other people be able to read your mind and you can control who it is that can read your mind? Oof.
Oh.
Man, that's a good...
Definitely
the first one. Yeah.
Definitely. I wouldn't want, even people who I felt very close to, I wouldn't want anyone to be able to read my mind.
Yeah.
It would feel violating, and there's something, like, it's
sacred.
The one private thing that we all have.
Well,
it's our thoughts.
Yeah, which is why Kant said we can never truly know anyone.
Wow, you have been meditating.
Thanks.
yeah. And I would really enjoy the randomness of the first option, of being able to...
Uh-huh.
Just
who am
drop,
I going to hear?
Drop in. It makes it more exciting.
Yeah.
I would love that option, actually.
Yeah. Whose thoughts am I going to hear
Even
today?
Like really benign thoughts would be fun.
I prefer that, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be really funny. The only thing is, it's like you wouldn't have anyone to share it with, but you could say what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that'd be an amazing ability. Anyway, so back to Jessica. With love And from Philly, Jessica. Thank you. What a great letter. Really good would you rathers. Thank you, Jessica. And thank you to our very special guest.
Very special.
Sarah, we're bigger fans now.
Yes, if that was possible.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for you.
You don't both have to be bigger fans of Sarah Bareilles after having heard her speak on a podcast. She's amazing. And if you guys would like to write into the show, like Jessica did, our email address is lifeisshort@wondery.com. And if you haven't seen the live Jesus Christ Superstar or Waitress or
Jesus Christ,
Girls 5 Eva, do yourself a favor. Or the sing-off.
Superstar, yeah. Oh, well, in that order, maybe. Sarah, thank you. And thank you especially for all of that time, your patience, and for your wonderful music.
Yeah, for sharing your gift with the world. It's a hell of a gift.
And we, these two middle-aged nerds, really appreciate it. It's really enriched our lives. And thank you to everyone listening, because doing the show enriches our lives.
Yes. And we'll talk to you next week.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do-do-do-do-do-shaboom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long.
Oh,
smooth. It's co-hosted by you,
Christian Long.
And it's also produced by you. And it's also produced by Megan
V.
Monaco. Senior producer is Michelle
Mish.
Lands. Audio engineer on this one is
Sergio Enriquez.
And executive producer credit goes to the one and only
Marshall Louis.
It's all done for a company that some people like to call
Wondery.
Do, 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 shaboom.
Doesn't she write music too?
Yeah.
Oh, and this guy, holy shit.
She was
my
guitarist.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Oh, you must, really?
And she was, she was the judge, one of the judges on Sing Off, which is an acapella sing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Oh, my God.
I'm like a huge fan of Sarah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't talk about her more.
I think about her a lot.
You do? Yeah. That's what how big a fan you are. Like,
yeah.
You're like, you don't want to like talk about her as much as you think about her because you're afraid it'll be like weird.
I'm like a fanatic.
Yes. Yes. Oh boy.
Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset.
Ugh, she is so convincingly, like, caring about him.
And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget about us tonight.
She is a gift. It's so like sensual.
I
can like feel her touching me.
Or her phrasing.
Ugh. And then John Legend is like, shouldn't he be a little stressed out?
Yeah, I don't think he knows how to. I don't think he's ever been.
I just looked at him. I haven't looked at him. What is he doing? Why is he so relaxed? She's trying to get him to be relaxed. Maybe he was told to do that. But he's like. They are closed. Ah, and this guy. God in heaven.
Then Cardi B is like, on all my top hits, I like, shut up, I'm talking. It's so crazy that she celebrated more than Cardi B. You know that you can go from one thing to the next in the same night.
I know. I loved your... Wait, you do your Cardi B.
Oh,
And because I'm such a generous person, I released a bonus episode of Life is Short where I chat with Darius Rucker, who you may know as, well, you know him as an incredible musician. I once knew him as Hootie with his other bandmates, the Blowfish. And you can find it exclusively on Amazon Music right now. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.